Good morning and welcome to worship. It's good to see so many folk here for this very special service. And what I should say, if you see steam gradually rising from the pulpit, it's not because the sermon has become fiery, it's because the minister was drookit down the road. So, and it doesn't look like it's improving, shall I say. So, quite a number of people think that I have that hotline. But I think there is one good quotation, that the Lord sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So, there we go. Caroline.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our service this morning, especially as we're commemorating Remembrance Day in church and afterwards at the War Memorial. The congregation will join the uniformed organisations to walk to the memorial from the car park. Hope you've brought your umbrellas. But you can also make your own way along directly after the service. Please take care and observe instructions from our stewards and the police officers assisting with the parade and at the war memorial. And everybody is welcome to join us in the Masonic Hall for soup and sandwiches following the act of remembrance. So please do come if you're able. As part of the Warm Welcome Initiative, the church will, on Thursday afternoons between 1 and 5 p.m. from November until March, be holding the Warm Spaces and Sanctuary Cinema. A film will be shown every week, and the next films are The 100-Foot Journey on the 13th of November and The Leisure Seeker on the 20th of November. Films start at 2 p.m., admission is free, and tea, coffee and biscuits are provided. Next Sunday on the 16th of November, we'll dedicate our gift day offerings, and a letter is currently being distributed to church members and friends of the church. C4 Cycling Club will be having its final cycle outing of the year on Monday, the 17th of November, which is a change of date and a change of day. And they'll be going to Preston Island and Currus. If you can contact Derek on 882-190 for more information if you need it. Everybody's welcome to come along who can make it. The Advent Discussion Group will meet on Thursday evening, the 27th of November, and then on Wednesday, the 3rd and 10th and 17th of December at 7 p.m. in the Irene Patterson Room, which is just through there. Our theme will be advised shortly, and again, everybody is welcome to attend. There are other intimations on the printed sheet, and that is also available on our website or via our Facebook page if you don't have a copy. I'm afraid we had, due to printer issues, only a few copies today. And next, for those on Zoom, a quick look at the order of service.
Let's worship God now by singing a psalm. We're going to sing Psalm 121. The hymns today are relatively traditional, and certainly that psalm would have been sung by many of those who served in the First World War and the Second World War, and particularly the Scottish regiments in the First World War, who would have been used to singing psalms unaccompanied. But we will be accompanied as we sing, "I to the hills will lift mine eyes." Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, receive the gifts we offer. Bless us in our giving and our gifts in their use. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, Kath is going to be leading us in our prayers.
Let us pray. On this day of remembrance, we gather to sing and to pray. We remember the past and look to the future. On this day when the guns once fell silent, we come before you, God, seeking your peace. On this day of hope in the face of terror, we come before you, God, praying with all our hearts. God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Help us to find the path that leads to the peaceable kingdom. Open our eyes and the eyes of the nations to find a different path through the disagreements of life in this world. In this time of story, song, and prayer, may we be recommitted to being people of peace, true peace. May we catch a vision of how the world could live together. And so we echo the old prayers. Make us channels of your peace. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with us. And so let us praise God together. Let us tell stories of God's power and majesty, his mighty acts throughout history. Let us remember the compassion he has shown towards us, his mercy and unfailing love, generation after generation. Let us pass these stories along to our children and grandchildren, so that they too may come to know and love our God. For God is great and worthy of our praise. Amen. And as part of our worship on this Remembrance Sunday, let us tell God we are sorry for everything we have done, said, and thought, which has displeased him, in the next prayer. So I invite you to join in the response, "Forgive us, Lord, for we are sorry." So it's, "Forgive us, Lord, for we are sorry." Merciful Father, we confess to you the wrong things we have done. Forgive us, Lord, for we are sorry. We confess to you the wrong things we have said. Forgive us, Lord, for we are sorry. We confess to you the wrong things we have thought. Forgive us, Lord, for we are sorry. We confess to you the wrong things the right things we have failed to do, failed to say, and failed to think. Forgive us, Lord, for we are sorry. Amen. And thank you, merciful Father, for forgiving us and loving us. Amen.
Our readings for this morning comes from Psalm 145, and the second reading comes from Matthew's Gospel. And I'd like to invite the representatives of Guiding and Scouting who are due to read, if they could come and read for us. So the Psalm first, and then from Matthew's Gospel. If you go behind the microphone. That would be great. Thank you.
The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth.
Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are in the pure heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of the righteousness, for there is a kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you, for when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Thank you. We're going to sing hymn number 710, "I Have a Dream," a man once said. Perhaps to understand this, you need to be in the latter years of secondary school, or at least able to remember that. My dad did a terrible thing. The year I sat my hires, he decided that he would do a couple of hires at night school. He was doing this for pleasure. I was not. And of course, the big worry there was my dad, who didn't know very much, might prove to be brighter than me, who knew most things. I'm not sure if I was a typical teenager or not. The pressure was on. I don't now actually remember what results he got, and my results have disappeared into the distant past. What I do remember was him returning one evening from his night school class and said he had a good story. In the modern studies class that he was doing, a young student in his teens said to my dad, "How come you know all this history?" And my dad's answer was, "Well, son, for me, it's not history. This is what I lived through when I was your age." Because my dad was a teenager during the Second World War. Which means he didn't need to be told about war. He was 18 in 1944. His older brothers had joined the army, had joined the Air Force. And one of his brothers, before my dad was aged to be called up, was already a prisoner of war. My grandparents didn't need to be told about the reality of war because they had experienced the First World War. My grandfather was a piper in the Seaforth Highlanders. I am of that generation, like my dad's young classmate, where war is part of history. And I realise that I am now one of the older generation. So for you young people in church today, I sound really quite old. I was born in the 1950s. For you, the 20th century is disappearing into the past as history because you have no experience of what most of us here lived through in the 20th century. This year, you'll have picked up a lot of things about the Second World War because this year we have marked 80 years since the end of that conflict. And I suspect that it has been so much more important this year because we didn't celebrate the 75th anniversary. All of that was to do with lockdown. In the news this year, in the media this year, VE and VJ Day have seen a lot of veterans speak out. And one of the things that has been said is we need to remember. This plea was selfless in tone and not a hint of selfishness. In fact, those who were approached and it was suggested that they might be heroes said, no, that was not the case. The heroes were those who did not come back, the people that we remember because they're on the war memorial. And this plea to remember had both overtones and undertones of a fear of what forgetting might lead to. For those who have seen the film Oppenheimer, you'll know a quotation associated with Robert Oppenheimer, one of the key scientists involved in the development of the atomic bomb. He used this quotation, "Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds." From the days of the Cold War, the fear of nuclear weapons has been at the heart of what we call nuclear deterrence. This deterrence has sometimes been referred to as mutually assured destruction. The idea that a war between nuclear powers leads to both being destroyed, therefore you don't do it. Mutually assured destruction is very often shortened to its initial letters, MAD. And it is a kind of madness. We are well aware of what a world war in today's world would likely be, and many think that it would simply be a catastrophic mass extinction event on the planet. In the last 80 years, since the first and only use of atomic weapons in war, their use has so far been unthinkable. But what happens if we forget? If we forget to value peace, we make the possibility of conflict more likely. With all that we see in the world of today, we might ask if at least some world leaders have forgotten the lessons of history. And worst of all, they have not heard what is still being said by those with experience of world war, and maybe especially those who witnessed or experienced that use of nuclear weapons. In many ways, the concept of deterrence by force of arms is what the quotation I put with this sermon is talking about. It's what it describes. Talking about peace, but not really believing in peace. Eleanor Roosevelt said, "It isn't enough to talk about peace. One must believe in it. And it isn't enough to believe in it. One must work at it." If we go to Jesus' words, in what we call the Beatitudes, beatitude just means blessing. What Jesus presents are the core values of being part of the kingdom of God. And when it comes to peace, what Jesus says in those two lines, part of our longer reading, what Jesus says is don't just talk about peace and go further than believing in peace. Don't talk about peace as a concept, but rather peacemakers as blessed to the extent of being called children of God. To use Eleanor Roosevelt's words, peace is something we have to work at. In Psalm 145, we are told that the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. If we are to be children of God, if we are to be peacemakers, we should reveal in our words and actions that we are true to the God of peace. If we are going to be true to all that we say today, and then on Tuesday, that at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, it is not enough to wear a poppy. It is not enough to say words of remembrance, and it is most definitely not right to walk away from the war memorial and let remembrance fade. Eleanor Roosevelt said, "It isn't enough to talk about peace. One must believe in it, and it isn't enough to believe in it. One must work at it." Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Amen. And now, our prayers for others.
As we pray for others here and across the world and for ourselves, I invite you again to join in a response. This time it is, "Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer." So, "Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer." Let us pray. God of peace, we thank you for all those who have fought in the wars. We thank you for their bravery and sacrifice so that we can live with the freedom and the rights we have today. We pray for those who were injured in body, mind and spirit, fighting in recent wars. We pray that they will find healing and peace. We pray for all organisations who work with injured veterans and their families. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of peace, we pray for countries in our world torn apart by internal conflict and war. We think especially of Ukraine, Gaza, and Sudan. We ask that you will strengthen the international efforts to bring about peace, and in that peace, rebuilding, reconciliation, and forgiveness. Is it all right? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, we pray for all people across the world struggling with the effects of climate change, a natural disaster. We bring before you the Caribbean recently hit by Hurricane Melissa, Philippines, Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia hit by Typhoon Kalmaji this last week, and for the Philippines again and Taiwan lying in the path of Typhoon Fungong. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of justice, pray for COP30, which starts tomorrow amidst loud climate skepticism, waning global political support, and the lack of attendance by the US, Russia, China, and India, some of the world's biggest polluters. We pray for a strong, fair decision, lots of decisions which will protect the most vulnerable and our fragile world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we bring before you our family and friends in the short silence which follows. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of peace, help us to understand that your peace begins with us and how we treat each other. Strengthen us to love one another as you love us. And so we offer these prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We sing the hymn, "Your Hand, O God, Has Guided."
Amen.
save the king. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.